Well, good morning to each one of you. It's great to be back here and to see you all. Those who don't know me, I'm from Carnforth. I'm married with three children. We'd like to have had four children, but I read in a book once that I went to the library and it said every fourth child born in the world is Chinese, so I kept it to three. So we've only got three. They're all married. If those who don't know me, I started the schools ministry, NISCU, many years ago in 1980 to 1990, developed that, and it's still running today and doing a great job. The best thing they did was get rid of me, and they've done so well since then. But there I started that, and I also then went on to start the Ministry of Sports Reach, which is a soccer ministry that shares the gospel through football and netball for girls. And I trust that the Lord will bless our service. We're going to start with a great old Wesley hymn, "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," 496, in Mission Praise, of course. And now I'm going to call Derek up. Derek is a very close friend. We've known each other since 1980.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask him to share a word with you.
Okay. Morning. I'm Derek Kitchen, Carnforth born and bred. Graham is from Lancashire, met Yorkshire. He's from Yorkshire, really. He's not a proper Lancashire lad. And it's when Graham was invited to come up here and wanted me to speak. I'm very nervous, not keen on speaking in church. I'd rather do it on a football field. But when he mentions Heron Hill, I don't want to be any disrespectful or anything like that, but when he mentioned Heron Hill, Psalm 92, it's right, sprung to my mind. It's a wonderful passage of scripture in the Psalms. And I just want to share some things from it that will hopefully inspire and encourage you to keep coming to church. I'd like to read a funny story I read a few days ago. The heading is "Why Go to Church?" The story's told of a mother who woke her son on Sunday morning and said, "Get up, you're late for church." He replied, "I don't want to go. I've no friends there. The music's awful and the sermons are boring." And the mother said, "You've got to go, you're the pastor." You know. Well, that speaks volumes to me, because how the church is declining. We need to encourage and build one another up to come to church. Yeah, we really do. And in Psalm 92, it speaks to me as well. It's not just for you, it's my life as well. Okay. It helps me. When I read this a bit ago, it really enthralls me out. And it goes on to say, we've got to give him thanks. Grateful. Are you grateful to be here this morning? Are you thankful to be here? Did you want to come to church this morning? Now, these things, I share this wherever I go. I love to see the people's reactions. You know, did they want to come to church? Or do you come to church because I've done it for the last 50, 60, whatever. You know, people come to church for different reasons. But are you grateful? And I've got down here singing praises. Well, we did that, didn't we? We got there eventually. I didn't know we were going to struggle with that. But, you know, we sing praise, but from a grateful heart, isn't it? That's where I sing from. I love singing in church. I love it. It's made me glad. The verses have made me glad. Salvation. I don't know if you're all born again yet, but salvation. Can you remember when you were born again? When you first gave your life to Jesus? You know, a tremendous day. Mine was back in 1976, so it's a few years ago, but I couldn't get on my knees fast enough. I couldn't get on my knees fast enough to give my life to the Lord Jesus. And life starts then. I was 26 years old. But life starts when you become to know the Lord as your Savior. That's when your life begins. And I'm so grateful for my salvation. And I just want to like ask you, when's the last time you shared your saving day? When was the last time you shared your testimony? You don't get a chance many times to do it. But what I'm trying to say to you, and for myself, is to encourage you to get a chance to share your testimony with people. Especially, I've got written down here, your families. My family's so disorientated. It's unbelievable the way our children can become and the way our families become. And it's so not frightening, but not nice. You know, you want your best for your children, don't we? You want your best for your brothers and sisters. You want the best for them. And I've got written down that but the best for them is only through Jesus Christ that I've come to know as my Saviour. That's why I love coming round with Graham, getting invited to different places to share what Jesus can do in someone's life. And that's the greatest thing you can do on this planet. The best things I've ever done in my life is got on my knees and give my life to Jesus. The best thing I've ever done, better than my family, better than my children. It's the best thing I've ever done. If you put Jesus first, you get your life in order. You can go and love your family more, your children more. You can do better things. He gives you this hope and confidence. And he wants to encourage us and inspire us. And the verses I want to leave you with are brilliant. They speaks to me of myself. I mean, Graham and I were invited down to Preston next year to do a missionary work. He's in his 70s and I'm in my 60s. I mean, you think the Lord would choose younger people. But we've all got something to offer. Why are these verses in Psalm 92, in 13, 14 and 15? Listen to these. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord and shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Isn't that brilliant? No matter what age we are. You know, we've all got something to offer, haven't we? We've got something great to offer. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And that's why I can come round with all my heart, with Graham, or wherever God wants us to be, to share how good Jesus is. Thank you very much.
And now I'm going to ask Marianne if she'd be kind enough to bring us the reading of God's word. Thank you.
The reading is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 17. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the shepherd and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I want to say amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and run away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading. Just a short prayer before we turn to that passage. Father, now we pray as we come and as we've been singing that you will speak to our hearts from this word. Speak that we might hear your voice. Like the good shepherd said that they hear his voice. We pray you will hear your voice through this word this morning. Amen. Well, I'd like to speak this morning on the theme of the Good Shepherd from this passage of Scripture. Insights from that phrase into the person of Christ and his work in the metaphor of a shepherd. Our lives can be greatly enriched by this, I believe, truth. That phrase that I hope it will be ringing in your hearts by the time we finish and maybe for the rest of the week. I am the Good Shepherd. Not that he was, not that he will be, but he is constantly in our generation. He was the Good Shepherd when he was born at that first Christmas, coming into the world. He was a Good Shepherd when he rose from the dead after the cross, when he laid down his life. He's the Good Shepherd when he comes to our lives in the 21st century. Still the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. And Christ sometimes used metaphors. It's in other words, picture language. He used the picture of a shepherd looking after sheep as to what he could be and what he wants to be to our lives. And the Bible often uses this picture right in Psalm. Let me just quote Psalm 100 verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are the people, the sheep of his pasture." You remember when Peter was commissioned by the Lord Jesus, he said to him, "Feed my sheep." And so often the metaphor is used. Tragedy, of course, that one of the metaphors about us being sheep is that we are lost sheep. Isaiah 53 uses the metaphor again. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. In Psalm 119 it says, "I have strayed like a lost sheep." Well, in what ways are we lost? I think it's a description of modern man as a lost sheep. What a good description I think it is of modern man. A man who doesn't have any time for God, man who's going his own way, making as much money as he can, materialistic, this caring, not a thought for God. And God looks down upon this world and he says, you know, you're like lost sheep. We lost because we lose our direction. When I became a Christian at the age of 15, I was looking for a direction in my life. I had no direction. I didn't know which way to go. I thought, you know, should I do this? I didn't know. I was totally lost in the direction. So I'm so glad that when I was 15 years of age, somebody introduced me to the Good Shepherd, who said, "I'm the way, follow me, I'm a Good Shepherd, just keep your eyes on me, I'll get you through life." And that's the greatest, Derek said, the greatest moment in his life was when he got down and asked the Good Shepherd into his life. And that's the greatest moment of my life as well. So we like sheep in the sense that we get lost. We move away by our own natures away from God. And we get lost. Like lost sheep, we are in dangerous position. It's dangerous to be a lost sheep. When a sheep in the Bible got lost and went out into the wilderness and wandered around, not only was he not going anywhere quick, he was just wandering aimlessly, but he was in danger because, of course, there were mountain lions in that territory where this was written. And the danger was that a lost sheep wandering away was like a meal for a mountain lion. And so there was under great danger. Also, of course, there was a danger of starvation. Going in the wilderness, there was no nice grass, no green pastures. And sometimes the sheep could get so lost that they would actually die of starvation. And it would be, of course, sad. No food or water. The desert was a difficult place. There was nobody to lead them, to look after them under these dangers. And, of course, that's true of today. They were a danger of death, of course. If they didn't get found wandering through that wilderness, by the Good Shepherd, because they would die eventually. And Jesus once, speaking to a great crowd of people, said, when he saw the crowds, he said, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. That's what that you could describe a lot of people today living around us that you know. Maybe you might not have the Good Shepherd in your life, guarding your life. And it's a sad state to be in, because you're wandering aimlessly in danger. And the great thing, of course, is lost sheep can be found. There's a great song many years ago. There was a great gospel singer. He sang with the great evangelist Dwight Moody. They called him Sankey. Some of you will have heard of this great Sankey songs. Well, one of the greatest songs that he actually sung was There Was 99. I'm going to quote from it just to get it. I think he puts it, and it was a song that touched many people's lives. And many people came to Christ just through Sankey singing the song. You know? And let me just quote it. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills far away, far off the gates of gold, away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. And of course that's was sung by Sankey, and a lot of people, as they sang that, saw that was my life. I'm wandering. I don't have a shepherd. And it was, I'll mention a little bit more of the song later on. But the first great truth, I want to bring about the Good Shepherd, we turn now to the Good Shepherd, is ever seeking lost sheep. That's his mission. It said of Jesus at the end of Luke chapter 19, verse 10 actually, not the end, verse 10, it said, I have come, this is the old purpose that Christ came into the world, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And what a joy it has been with Derek and I in our sports ministry to go to have many, many children come and sit there, and we've told them about the Good Shepherd. And to see children opening their hearts to Jesus, like lost sheep, but they come to the shepherd and they commit their lives to him. That's been a great joy in my life, to see children come into, and adults as well, of course. I remember speaking to in a church in Bridlington on the east coast of England, and there was a lady there at the service, and she said, you know, I've been to church for many years, she says, but I've never asked the shepherd into my life. She sung the song, The Lord's My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want. But she said, I've never, she used the term that we might use, but she said, I've never been born again. That's the term she used. And I turned to Mrs. Middleton, I remember her name. I turned to him, I said, Mrs. Middleton, the Good Shepherd will come into your life today, if you want him. Oh, she said, I do. And so she opened her heart to the Good Shepherd. In that service, it was a lovely moment, and I got to friend her, and then I got a message that Mrs. Middleton was in Driffield Hospital, but she's only had a short time to live, and so I got there as quick as I could to the hospital, and she was still alive, and she said, I'm ready, because she had the Good Shepherd living in her heart. And she knew that she was going to him. And so it was so great. Now, and he's ever seeking lost sheep. Second little point that I want to bring. The Good Shepherd is a loving shepherd. The most lovely thing that I think, as I go around and preach to all kinds of congregations, both in churches and outside them on football fields, the greatest thing I can say, and the first thing I often say, and I want to say it again to you, something very simple. Alright, this isn't big deep theology. Something that you probably know, alright? But something that you can learn afresh. And that is this, the Good Shepherd loves you. I want everybody to know that you are loved today by the Lord Jesus. And he says this, and we know by the sacrifice he made, I am the good shepherd. You remember it came up twice in the reading. I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He loved us so much that he came, that he went on that cross as a good shepherd, and he laid his life down so that we could come to know and love him. That's why he was dying. And you say, how do I know Jesus loves me? Well, simply, because he loves you, because he died for you on the cross. There's no greater love than that somebody should lay down his life. And that was the greatest sacrifice that Christ... When I became a Christian, as I say, I wasn't from a Christian home. I wasn't from a church background. I didn't go to Sunday school. I got throughout Sunday school. I did go a bit, but they slung me out. And so the best, yeah. I got through out of the BB as well. That was another organisation I got through out of. But you know, the Good Shepherd kept seeking me. And it wasn't until I was, as I say, 15 years old. And you know what made me become a Christian? It was just an overwhelming sense. It was the cross, really, that Christ was loving me on that cross, and that he died so I could have eternal life, and that he could come into my life. And when I realised that, that he laid down his life, I became a Christian. If God was the Son of God and he came into this world and he was prepared to die in my place for my sin, then I thought, well, I'm going to become a Christian. And that's why I did. Let's go back to that that song by Sankey. Here's another verse from it. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are the blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain track? They were shed for the one who'd gone astray, the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. And it just gives a sense, I think, that great hymn of God's tremendous love for us. So, the shepherd's love. Then thirdly, the shepherd's protection. Verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall be able to snatch them from my hand. If you've given your heart to the Good Shepherd, if you've asked Jesus to become your personal saviour, you can be absolutely sure, without a shadow of any doubt whatsoever, that you will go to heaven when you die. You can be absolutely, not possible. It didn't matter being good enough. None of us are good enough. It's a matter of his love and his grace for our lives. And the protection. He says, no one, they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. In John 15, of course, there's a story of the parable of the lost sheep. Sheep gets lost. And the good shepherd realises there's a lost sheep. He leaves the 99 all safe in the fold. They're safe. And what does he do? He goes out and he reaches looking for that lost sheep. One day he sees it. And there he goes, and he, as the parable says, he gets it, puts it on his shoulder and takes it home. Without no doubt about it, it's on his shoulders and he's taking it home. And he says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Absolutely certain. I don't want anybody tonight, today, to feel, if you're a Christian, that you might not go to heaven. Alright? If you put your life on the shoulder of the shepherd, he'll get you home. Absolutely certain. So I want to take any fear of not being saved away from. If you, of course, I've got to say this, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, and you're still lost, I've got some fantastic news. He wants to save you today. Because he loves you. He wants you to be with him forever. He wants you to be certain. And you can be if you ask him to be your personal saviour. One of the good shepherd's provision. Once you've given your life to Christ, like I did at 15, you can be absolutely sure that he's going to look after you and meet every need. David said, "The Lord's my shepherd." What did he say next? "I shall not want. I've got all that I need for life." And I'm a 70-year-old now, okay, so I was 16 to 70, you can tell me how many years I've been a Christian, 15 to 70, I'm not going to work it out for you. But it's a long time. And I can say, as I've gone through life, uphills, sometimes, going through hard times, sicknesses, I was very sick when I was 25, nearly died, alright. I know what it's like to be seriously ill. I know what it's time to lose, we were going to have four children, but one died in the womb. And that was a great sadness to us. But when I did lose that child, the Good Shepherd really came close to me at that time. It was so special. It's hard to explain until you've been through something like that, when you had a great loss. And I think when my mother died, she died at the age of about 58. I was 22 when my mum died. But what a loss. She was a lovely, lovely lady, was my mum, and a Christian lady. She came back to the Lord. When I became a Christian, she'd slidden away in her life. She got so busy with, my father wasn't a Christian and so forth. But then when I came back, she said, "Graham, when I was 18, I went to the Salvation Army and I became a Christian." And I didn't know that until I'd become a Christian. And she came right back to the Lord there and then, started going to church again. Right to the end, reading the Bible again. She started reading the Bible. Every morning I'd go down, there was my mum with an open Bible. I'd never seen that until she'd given her heart to Christ. It's one of the lovely things that happen when Jesus comes into your heart. You have a desire to read the Bible. But then she died. And I knew where she'd gone, of course. But what a loss it was to me when you lose your mum. And I remember going in my little bedroom, and there, really feeling really sad. And it's so, I can't explain it, it was so real. The Good Shepherd came. And he said, "Graham, don't worry. I'll provide somebody else very special for you. I'll look after you." And it was so real, I knew that there was an inner peace and an inner joy and a certainty. About 4 weeks after that, I met my wife. I fell in love, and she's been a wonderful, wonderful friend of my life. But he says, "You'll not want. I'll help you through the struggles of life. I will never leave you." That's the word of Jesus. Somebody might just need to know that this morning. Whatever's happening, he's never going to leave you. He's going to supply your things. It's a lovely song. "Every need is hand supplying, every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying, he is all and all to me." So that's a wonderful thing. And one more little thing I just want to say, just a couple of sentences. He never changes. Yesterday, today and forever, Jesus is the same. He never changes. He'll love you, he'll care for you, whatever you're going through, whatever stage of life you're at, young or old, it's fantastic. When I was a young man, right in my teens, footballer, playing with some rough men, it's wonderful that Christ was with me and helping me. I can look back on those years and say, I'll see how he helped me through them. So, one last thing, and I'm going to finish with this, the Good Shepherd's invitation. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock and one shepherd." I've got to finish by a word of invitation. An invitation here that the Good Shepherd says, "I have other sheep that have not yet come into the fold. Them I want to reach." I wonder if you're one of those. I preach every Sunday virtually in a church. And every Sunday there are people there who haven't opened their hearts virtually to the Lord Jesus. I was preaching in Carnforth, my own church, about 6 weeks ago now. And I remember just saying, very similar, I told them the story of Zacchaeus, how he was up a tree, and how he wanted to come down and, you know, come into our hearts. And there's a lady on the front, the load of chairs coming downhill on the thing, and then there's some chairs flat. She was the last on the last row of the first section. And I didn't know, but she said, you know, I come to church, but I've never opened my heart to the Lord Jesus. And there's a dear lady next to her called Mrs. Mannering. She turned to him and said, well, you don't have to wait any longer. You can do it today. And she opened her heart to the Good Shepherd. There may be somebody just like that. I don't know, you might say. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not certain. But I want to be one. I want to follow the Good Shepherd with my life. I want him to come and live in my heart and help me through life. Well, I just want to say this. Come now. Come today. Ask him. I'm going to give a prayer to finish where you can actually do that. So let's finish our service with a prayer. Father, thank you for the Good Shepherd who gave his life so that we could know him in our hearts, that we could have eternal life, that he laid down his life on the cross so we could be forgiven. And Lord, there might be one of us here today. This is a prayer we want to pray. Dear God, you pray this prayer if you're not yet a Christian. Dear God, today I want to become a Christian. I want the Good Shepherd to come into my life. I want to say thank you for dying for me, to forgive me, to take away my sins. Do it right now. And I want the Good Shepherd to come and live in my heart right now, because you're alive today. And shepherd my life all the way through. And I will be able to say with David, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Great. Well, we're going to sing that song, the 23rd Psalm. It's number 660. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. 660.